Please be seated. This past week, we observed what is sometimes called All Hallows' Tide, or also it can be referred to as the All Saints Triduum, Triduum meaning three holy days. These are three holy days focused on the hallowed. I feel like I'm doing a lot of translation, but hallowed, a word meaning holy. The 3 days began with All Hallows' Eve on Thursday, and especially in the Middle Ages, it was thought that on that night, the veil between the living and the dead was very thin. It was believed the dead were free to roam the earth that night. They could play pranks on people. They could also seek vengeance for wrongs committed against them in life. That may sound familiar. That's where we get Halloween. The second of the days is All Saints' Day on November 1st. That day we remember our heroes of the faith, those who have gone before us and were exemplars of holy living. These are the holy saints of God found in the church's calendar, whose lives and faithful witness inspire, support us on our earthly journey. Some of these are saints of God who suffered martyrdom, being witnesses literally by giving their life to follow Jesus. They were washed in the blood of the Lamb by their martyrdom. All Saints' Day is so important that we keep it not only on November 1st, but also today, the Sunday following. And then the third of these days is All Souls' Day on November 2nd. It is the day we remember those who have died and are not on the church's calendar. We pray for those known to us. And we also pray for those forgotten, unnamed, having no one to pray for them, known only to God. At the heart of this Triduum, of these 3 days, is remembering those we love and see no more, those who worship God on a distant shore. These days remind us that we are connected with the departed, even across the chasm of death. The love we share does not end. Our relationships continue, though they are changed. And that is why we pray for them as they journey into the fullness of God's presence. And so the veil between the living and the dead is indeed thin. Through the communion of saints, we are connected with those who have gone before us. We are connected even with those who have died. Nothing can sever the love we share. The power of God is greater than all the forces of this world, even than death itself. And the promise of these days is that at the last, God will gather all people around God's heavenly throne. Our epistle this morning is from the book of Revelation. I know some of us struggle with this book. It's mysterious. It has metaphorical imagery and, frankly, some fantastical images. But I think it offers some very poignant and beautiful images of eternal life with God. And we hear one in today's reading. We hear of a new heaven and a new earth, the Jerusalem prepared by God. And in this city, there is no separation between God and God's people. God dwells with the people. There is no distance between God and humanity. In this city, death is defeated. And then very tenderly, God wipes away all tears from the eyes of God's people. There's no longer death or mourning or crying. All things are made new by God. The hallowed people made holy by the death and resurrection of Jesus share in the promise of eternal life with God in the new Jerusalem. God will gather those who have died and bring them to the heavenly banquet that God prepares. Our destiny is to join the saints of God, that multitude of saints and angels and martyrs who worship God day and night at the throne. Jesus, the Lamb of God, shepherds the people, gathering them, leading them to the springs of the waters of life. And God wipes away every tear from their eyes. There's comfort in this image, for in this life we indeed do shed tears of grief. In the world to come, though, God will wipe those tears from our eyes. There's no need for them. In that heavenly city, we will have no reason for tears because God's reign will be in completeness. Death is defeated through the death and resurrection of Jesus, and in God's realm, there will no longer be sorrow and pain, neither sighing, but life everlasting. Just like those who have gone before us, we too are called to be hallowed, to be the saints of God, to live lives of holiness by giving ourselves to following Jesus. Like the saints of old, we're called to witness through our lives, by our words, through our deeds, witnessing to the love of God. Several years ago, I heard a definition of a saint that was very helpful to me. The description was, a saint is an ordinary person called to do extraordinary things. I don't know about you, but I find that reassuring. I get a little nervous when I hear I'm called to be a saint. I know I'm not perfect. I sin. I fall short of the glory of God. I am indeed an ordinary human being. But the definition reminds us that saints are indeed just like you and just like me. Saints are not perfect. Only God alone is perfect. The saints knew temptation and sin. They fell short of the glory of God. But the saints didn't stop there. They didn't throw up their hands and say, oh, I failed, I'm done. They persevered. They acknowledged their sin. They repented. They received God's mercy and forgiveness, and then they kept going. They were not distracted by anything from following Jesus. They put following God above all else. For the saints, God was the most important reality in their lives. The saints did not pursue riches, earthly power. They sought the kingdom of God with single-minded devotion. They lived lives of loving service, seeking out the forgotten, the marginalized. And God used the saints, used them in their giftedness, but also in their imperfections. Used them in service to God, that they are instruments of God to usher in God's reign by their lives, by their witness. At the heart of this Feast of All Saints, God is assuring us of God's intention for humanity, that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, sin and death have been destroyed. Through the waters of baptism, we share in Christ's victory. Though we die, yet shall we live, and be gathered by God into eternal life. Because we share in the victory that Jesus won over death, that means we have nothing to fear in this life. There is no power in this world that can destroy or separate us from the love of God. In our gospel today, we have what is likely a familiar story of Jesus being called to the home of his close friends, Mary, Martha, who live with their brother Lazarus. But just before Jesus arrives, word comes that Lazarus has died. Jesus is so moved by the death of his friend. Jesus knows grief as you and I do, so much so that he cries. He mourns over the death of Lazarus. And then he goes to Lazarus' grave and calls out to him. And Lazarus, once dead, emerges from the tomb still bound in his burial cloths. When Lazarus comes out, Jesus says words which I think are some of the most poignant in Scripture. unbind him and set him free. Jesus says to us, be unbound, be set free. Jesus calls us out of the tombs that hold us and calls us to be unbound. Like Lazarus, we are called to fear nothing. The power of sin and evil and death are defeated. Through baptism, we already share in resurrection life. We already are set free in Christ. Jesus unbinds us so that we can live generous lives of love, that we can live by the expansive, all-inclusive, broad love of God. Jesus sets us free to live lives of the hallowed, lives of holiness, living by Jesus' victory, set apart to walk in his way of love. In just a few moments, we will renew our baptismal covenant on this baptismal day, and these promises articulate the life to which we are called. They remind us the life the saints lived. They call the baptized to a way of life that is, no doubt about it, demanding. It requires we rely on God. And so that's why, as we make our promises, we respond, I will, with God's help. We need God to live this life. For this life, the life of the baptized, is rejecting the ways of this world, a world that values wealth, power exercised over people, hatred, violence. And we are called instead to live by love, by humble service. In the waters of baptism, we die to the ways of this world, and we rise to the life of God. We turn from narrow self-interest and embrace the loving, humble service of Jesus. We give up ourselves that we can find true, abundant life in God. Our baptismal promises lead us to be recreated, to put on new life in Christ. They challenge the old assumptions. They offer a way of life we can scarcely imagine or hope for. And this life to which we are called is nothing short of heaven breaking out on earth. The way of Jesus makes real God's realm right now, in this world. Through the witness of the people of God, eternity breaks into our broken, suffering, and hurting world and offers hope. This is a journey we make with God, but we also make it with each other. We cannot do it as individuals. It requires all of us walking together as a community of faith, as the household of God. This life of holiness into which we are baptized also requires the witness of the saints, of those who have gone before us, who show us the way, who model for us single-minded devotion to following Jesus. Their lives offer us inspiration and support, and through the communion of saints support us as the saints offer prayers for us who still run this earthly race. Like the saints who have gone before us, let us give over our whole lives to following Jesus, to walking his paths of holiness. May God be at work even in our very ordinary lives, empowering, strengthening us to do extraordinary things in the name of God. May we always, in everything, witness to the power of God's love. And may Jesus stand ready to unbind us from whatever holds us back, setting us free to follow, free to trust that there is nothing in this world that can separate us from the love of God made known in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so on this All Saints Day, let us commit to give everything we are and all we have to walking in paths of holiness as the saints of old did. Like them, may we come to wear the crown of glory. May we be gathered by God at the supper of the Lamb, that great heavenly banquet that God prepares for God's people. And may we come there to sing with all the saints, God's praises for eternity. Amen. Amen.